We may not consider ourselves as wealthy individuals or families living here in the United States of America, but if we were to compare our financial situations, you know, money, properties, and possessions, if we compared that with the average person in many other countries of the world, we would be classified as wealthy, and very wealthy by third world countries' standards. So, my point in bringing this up is, are we more spiritually minded or physically minded? Does that mean that we need to become poor financially so that we may become more spiritually minded? Well, not unless we've acquired our money or possessions illegally in a sinful manner, or if we're like the rich young ruler who trusted in his riches instead of following Christ, as we want to study that later, Mark 10:17-27. Yes, then we would need to make a serious adjustment. Now, let me mention this. Of course, being in Christ makes us truly rich in spiritual blessings, regardless of our monetary status. Money is an object used as a means of currency or exchange, and that means that it is not evil in itself, of itself. What one does or does not do with his money can be good or it can be evil, but it's necessary to determine that by the scriptures. And excuse me, a main point of emphasis for our study is this: trusting in physical riches instead of laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven will prevent us from being a true follower of Christ and entering into heaven. Matthew 6:19-21. Remember, in Genesis 3:1-6, what did Satan use in tempting Eve? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three avenues. And he was successful against Eve in the Garden of Eden. But thankfully, Satan used those same three tactics, those avenues of temptation, unsuccessfully against our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 4. Now, we know that verses 1 through 11, Jesus answered every temptation with Scripture. And he defeated Satan. And thus, we can be assured that from Eve to the end of time, though Satan has and will continue to use these same three avenues of temptation against all accountable souls for the purpose of getting man to sin against God. 1 John 2:15-17. Chapter 3, verse 8. Now, the Bible has much to say about riches and wealth, and so I think it would be good for us to make a study concerning guarding against materialism. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And again, PFE, that helps us to remember what we should be doing every day. PFE, that's right, Preparing for Eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as, yes, sir, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit. That's having a proper attitude, but also in truth, following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. And something else to mention. Excuse me. We want to, of course, extend an invitation for anyone that would like to set up a Bible study. We would do that at your convenience. And if you would like Bible correspondence courses on the church and introduction to the Bible and plan of salvation, please let us know. And something else, if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study concerning guarding against materialism. And we need to start out, of course, by defining the term materialism. And so, this being a significant part of our study, as we're wanting to understand the dangers of materialism, let's go to the Oxford University Press Dictionary and get a definition. Number one, a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. Two, philosophy, the doctrine that nothing exists except matter and its movements and modifications. Now, number two could be determined, this definition could be determined extreme materialism, which is akin to atheism, since this doctrine says nothing exists but matter. Well, we could say the Sadducees could be termed extreme materialist in Acts 23:8. Notice, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. However, our study is concerned with the first definition, which could be termed practical materialism, as it involves the lust of monetary gain and worldly possessions. And so we need to talk about this. God's design for a family life center is a work of the home rather than a work of the church. When congregations of the Lord's church build entertainment centers, gymnasiums, and such, it is because they have become materialistic in their way of thinking. Materialism can eat away at the heart of any congregation of the Lord's church by brethren having their priorities out of order and thus losing spiritual focus. And one, you know, symptom of this is not giving as they've been prospered. Now notice Revelation 3:14-17 with me. Excuse me, I'm sorry with this throat situation I'm having. Revelation 3:14-17. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So, the Laodiceans, a church of Christ in the first century, they did not see what the Lord did. So, this is a prime example of materialism. And we can learn from the Lord's rebuke. Now again, having wealth is not wrong in itself. Take Job's example. He was very wealthy. He lost all his children, and he lost all his possessions, his wealth. His wife was left behind, and Satan used her. She suggested to Job, curse God and die. Well, you know, all this was due to Satan having accused God of bribing Job's faithfulness. Yes, Job was faithful to God. God pointed that out, didn't he? He was a just man. And Job's faithfulness, although Satan brought on all this destruction and certainly losing his 10 children, the worst, he remained faithful throughout this. And then, of course, the second round, Satan took away Job's health. He still remained faithful. He said things that he shouldn't, and God called him on the carpet for it. And you know, in Job 42, 1 through 12, we know that God blessed Job with greater wealth after he had endured all Satan's fiery darts. And Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Well, here's another example. God also blessed Abraham with great wealth. Genesis 24, 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants, camels and asses. What about Zacchaeus? Remember in the New Testament, who was rich, Luke 19:2. Obviously he did not trust in his wealth. In Luke 19:8, let's notice, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Another example of one who was a rich man but did not misuse that wealth, that would be Joseph of Arimathea. He was a disciple of Jesus. He gave his tomb for the burial of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Matthew 27, 57 through 60. So, what we need to, again, point out, as with the Laodiceans, you see, they were trusting in their riches, and they were not seeking to do the will of God and staying with the doctrine of Christ. They had become lukewarm. They weren't on fire for the Lord's will. They weren't cold, completely dead, like Sardis, but they made the Lord sick. Yes. And you see, they thought they had need of nothing, but they did have a need of changing their attitude to do the will of God and not trusting in their riches. Now, we need to point this out. To covet what is not ours is to have a love for money, or to have lustful desires of an improper sexual manner. That would be the same as lifting up possessions, money, or improper sexual relations as our idol. That's right. Notice in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Did you notice money is not the root of all evil, but it's the love of money that is. There's quite a difference in making and saving money as opposed to the love of money. And we need to realize that. Now, those who have set their hearts on getting rich over following Christ have a love for money, which is evil. But again, be assured that the money itself is not evil. Now, how many people today are looking for get-rich-quick schemes? I know most of us probably have received an email that you have been awarded quite a bit of money, an astronomical amount of money in some cases I've received. Well, I knew immediately it was a scam, but you know, how many people have been scammed and they end up paying money for something they're not going to receive? Why? Because they were looking for a quick, rich scheme. They want it quick. And that's alluring to people, because there's that strong desire for wealth instead of having a strong desire for doing the will of God and feeding upon His Word and fellowshipping with the brethren, worshiping God as we should every first day of the week, and attending all the services to learn more of God's will and pray together and have that wonderful fellowship in the Lord's church. You see, some people don't seem to understand how rich that is, and the desire thus is not there. How many of our young people have left the church because the desire was not there? And what desire is there is for pleasure, cares of the world, and riches. That's one of the thorns, isn't it? In the parable of the souls. So, notice, the vast majority of those who have been involved in these get-rich-quick schemes have lost hard-earned money, and some even taken their own life. That's right. And how many marriages have ended because one or both spouses had a strong desire for wealth and expensive possessions? Well, look at Joshua 7. What was the result of Achan's scheme to take the accursed thing? A goodly garment, gold and silver. Yes, he coveted it. And what was the result of that coveting the accursed thing? He and his family died because of their disobedience, and Israel's army was defeated at Ai. Since they could not fight against their enemies until the accursed thing was placed into the Lord's treasury. So that cost Achan his life, but not only his family, because they knew about it. And they knew it was wrong. Why did they hide it if they didn't know it was wrong? Now, we need to conclude. Therefore, the materialism in our study represents a form of idolatry, which of course is succumbing to the three avenues of Satan's temptations, as we mentioned early on. Now let's go to Colossians 3:5. Excuse me. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Couldn't state it any plainer. The Apostle Paul was inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Notice Paul again writing to the Church of Christ at Ephesus, chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let's think about that for a moment. We know that the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the church of Christ are the same institution. By the scriptures, we know that. We should, if we don't, start studying God's holy word, and you'll see that's, of course, the situation here. So, do we want to have a part, an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, in his body, the true church? Well, of course, everybody should. You know, probably there are very few people who would admit to being an idolater. Let's face it. And you see, in Galatians 5:19-21, the works of the flesh, well, you guessed it, you'll find idolatry in that list. Now, folks, we must be sure that we are not guilty of the sin of covetousness. And if we're in the Lord's church, brethren, we need to repent and get things straightened out as soon as now. Not put it off. You know, if you're not a member of the church, even if you weren't involved in the sin of covetousness, you're in need of salvation, because you're guilty of other sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And it's time to get right with God, to turn to God and away from lasciviousness, fornication, lying, all kinds of sins we could name. Of course, a person could not be involved in immorality but still be a sinner, because they're not doing what God said to do in obeying the gospel. So if we're in that situation, what are we waiting on? Why does one want to stay in their sins and lose their soul? That doesn't make a lick of sense. Of course not. It's time to do what's right. The time of salvation is now. So, brethren, you know, as Brother Marshall Keeble used to say, sitting in a hen house does not make you a chicken, nor does sitting in a church building make you a Christian. Thus, calling oneself a Christian does not make it so, especially if we are materialistic. Even though we may be a member of the Lord's church, if we're materialistic, we're in need of repentance, confessing our sins and turning to God for forgiveness and praying for forgiveness. But we have to get out of the situation of being materialistic. Repenting is getting out of sin, changing our will and doing the will of God. Now, excuse me. Lord willing, next Sunday I want us to study concerning the rich young ruler. Now, the account of the rich young ruler, you'll remember he ran to Jesus and asked him the most important question that one could ask. Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Well, it's found in three of the four gospel accounts: Matthew 19:16-22, Mark 10:17-27, Luke 18:18-27. Now, I hope you got that down, because it would be good to study those accounts in preparation for our study next Lord's Day. Let me repeat them: Matthew 19:16-22, Mark 10:17-27, Luke 18:18-27. And excuse me, I hope to utilize Mark's account especially, and again we'll look forward to doing that, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But as we close out our study this morning, we need to guard against materialism, as it's idolatry to covet. And we want to realize, being in Christ, that's where the richness, the true spiritual richness that is undescribable, really, with man's words. The blessings of being a child of God, knowing if I were to die right now, where I would be: in paradise, awaiting the Lord's coming. Are you prepared for eternity? If you've not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. Of course, we have to hear the truth. That's how faith comes, Romans 10:17. Then we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Having believed Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated to repent, to get out of sin, turn our life over to Christ, and do His will, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. It's unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Then we're ready to be baptized. We're going under the water to contact the blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. We come up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, as you see in Romans 6:3-6. And then the Lord adds us to His body, the true church. Now, that's Acts 2:47. We need to remain faithful, even if we were to die, for the Lord's cause. We thank you so much for listening today.